our faithful God. He's been so good to us this past year, and I want to invite you to just look with me at a few things. I got a little PowerPoint presentation to look back as we look at our vision night, just looking back at last year. And so we'll get that up. But looking back at 2019 and comparing it to last year, I got to tell you, I don't know if you're aware of this, but last year wasn't quite what we hoped it would be. And if last year was what you hoped it would be, there's something wrong with you. Amen. Just like to say that. But just like the song these ladies just presented said, God's faithful. And in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of pandemics and turmoil in our country like we haven't seen in really 100 years or more, we see God being faithful. And so I'm going to share some numbers with you, and I just want you to be careful. Don't get discouraged when the numbers aren't what you might hope, because God was so good. He was so good through it all. So looking back, I just want to show you some of our numbers. Sunday school average in 2019 was 108. This year in 2020, it was 78. Our morning worship average the year before was 131, and this past year was 97. Evening worship, 96, and this year, 71. And back in 2019, our Wednesday night average was 132, which was just outstanding, better than we had ever seen before. You wonder why there's a blank there. Well, hard to get averages on Wednesday nights this past year. We just had a lot of things go on, and so don't have some numbers. But I just want you to see this. There's a chart next, our Sunday school attendance. This was our monthly average, and you know, we started out really well. The first couple of months, averaging right there over 100 and 100, and then April happened. And you might wonder why April's missing for Sunday school. Well, that's because we weren't having Sunday school. Most of the time we were having church in the parking lot. Anybody remember that? Good time. Some of you really enjoyed that because you could put the visor down. You didn't have to look at me. Or you could just lay the seat down. Some of you really enjoyed having the seat heaters. Come on, yeah. And some of you, when you came, just be honest. And I don't know if you need to repent about this or not. You can pray about it. Some of you came to church dressed like you were going to Walmart instead of like you were coming to church because you were in your car and you weren't going to get out. Yeah, you can pray about that. Okay. But you'll notice how the decline continued, and then we've kind of leveled out there a little bit. The next slide gives us our Sunday morning worship attendance. And we see that decline. But man, look at May. Some of you people were excited to get back to church in May. And then you got over it in July. but we see that kind of leveling out. And the December last month, our monthly average for December was 88. We have the evening worship as well for you to see. And the same kind of trend down and then back up and then kind of up and down a little bit. December is a little bit deceptive. There's a star there for you on 70 because we had our candlelight service really boosted our average on December. So you say, well, man, what happened to all those people? Well, where did they go? Well, a lot of them are inside that little box up there right now. They're watching the live stream from home, and we have a lot of folks that have a lot of good reason to not be out and about. You know, I know a lot of you want to debate about the vaccine and all those different things, but I'm thankful for the vaccines that are coming out. I'm thankful for the ones that aren't using aborted baby parts. I'm thankful for that. And there are some companies that have not utilized those things, and you ought to research that. But there are some people who need to get vaccines, and it's going to help. It's going to help open up our country, and I'm thankful for that. And so we're looking forward to that. I want you to look at this next slide, looking back as we look at over the years. These are just some indicators. Obviously, these are just numbers, and I like numbers. They give us some ideas. Obviously, we're far more concerned with people's hearts. Man, I try to set you guys up for those amens, and you miss them. But in 2019, we gave out 95 of our devotional books. Last year, we gave out 94. Now, the truth is, we wouldn't have given out nearly as many if we hadn't shipped a bunch of them off to Brother Scott Borland to be a help and a blessing to the work that he's doing. And so we're thankful for that. over a little over 8,800 tracts in 2019. And I just want to praise God for this. We gave out over 7,000 tracts in 2020. Amen. Now, you may not, I'm just going to tell you that when all the other numbers are really, really low, that's a great number to still have up there pretty good. And I thank God for that, because that means that not only were you faithful in just going through your day-to-day life, having tracts in your car or in your purse or wherever, and giving those out as you go, but our church was faithful going week after week after week to our community. And we had some big events to give out gospel tracts, like the cruise night, and we gave out the water bottles and tracts, and the Christmas parade where we gave out hundreds of tracts, and so just great things. The Dunn books, we gave out about 36 of those. Bibles, this year we only gave out about 13. And the water bottles, that's from cruise night. We gave out over 900 water bottles that night. And then some of us got to go back out the next day and pick up trash and try to be a blessing to our community. And by the way, I think it mattered. I think it mattered. We want people to know that Calvary's here. We want people to know that Calvary cares about our community. And we want, more importantly than anything, we want to put the gospel in their hand. And we were able to do that. And so it was a tremendous blessing, and I'm thankful for that. Next, in 2019, we had 20 people report that they had been saved, 20 professions of faith. This past year, we had 8. Now, when you see those numbers, your first reaction might be, oh, man, we went from 20 to 8, but those are 8 souls. And listen, we could rejoice if it had a 1 there. Right? And so please don't be discouraged by that, because I promise you may look at that and go, man, there ought to be more. And listen, I promise, I wish that number was thousands. But I promise you it matters to those 8. And it's going to matter to those 8 forever. Another thing that's awesome when you consider that is you have no idea the impact that one of those souls might make on many other souls. If you've been reading our new devotional book that we gave you at the beginning of the year, you see those testimonies. You see those testimonies where one person has such a tremendous impact in reaching hundreds or thousands through their life and testimony, and so you just don't know. We only got to baptize 1 this year, and I praise God for her, and we're looking forward to baptizing a lot more in the coming year. We had 4 added by other means, and I want you to look at this bottom number here. We haven't tracked this. That we haven't been able to share this with you before, but this past year, 2020, we had 86 first-time guests. Amen. That's 86 people who came into the doors of this church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Now, this doesn't count like Vacation Bible School kids. We get a lot of new kids. This only counts them if they came to another service, like the Wednesday after or something like that. But that's 86 people who came into this building, and by the grace of God, we got to share the gospel with them and reach out to them. So I just thank God for that. This coming year, we want to reach as many people as we can with the gospel. We're going to continue our weekly outreach on Sunday afternoons, and I thank God more and more people have gotten involved with that. I understand everybody can't come every time, but everybody can come sometime. Let me back up and say that one more time in case you missed it. I understand everybody can't come all the time, but everyone can come sometime. You guys amen me when I preach and I say it's not me doing the work, it's not a few people doing the work, it's all of us doing the work. And that's, there's no greater manifestation of the work of the church than for us to go to our community with the gospel. That means some of you need to forego your Sunday afternoon nap at least once a month and come up here and help us reach our community with the gospel. And we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep working with our Sunday school and our Wednesday night discipleship. And I'm praying by the grace of God we can start rebuilding our van ministry this year. We're looking forward to our camps. And you'll see just a little snippet of those camps in our video tonight. Our Vacation Bible School. In the midst of all of that we had this year, we still had a great Vacation Bible School. And it was a tremendous blessing. Our mission trip that we had planned for this past year wasn't able to happen. I'm praying by the grace of God things are going to open up towards the end of the summer, and we'll be able to do that mission trip that we missed out on last year. We've got some other things that I'm praying about and talking to the deacons about, trying to incorporate into this new year, and looking forward to sharing those with you as the year goes on. We're going to keep working on improving our live stream. because there are people that we would never be able to reach. I told you guys the other day, and it still kind of just shocks me, who would have ever thought that our church would have a live stream? You know, honestly, even at this on this night a year ago, it just wasn't on the radar. Hey, let's start a live stream. Let's start a YouTube channel, right? But we do, and it's been a blessing to some people, and we pray that by the grace of God, we'll be able to grow that. Our theme for the new year is Revive Us Again. I'm excited to share a message about that with you tonight. But before we do that, I got a little video I want to show you. And just hopeful that it'll be a blessing to you just looking back. You're going to see some things on here that you may maybe not so sure what was that. I don't remember that. I'll try to explain some of those things here in a little bit. But like I said, and God's been faithful. He's been good through it all.
My joy, my righteousness and freedom.
Well, the Lord's good, isn't he? Just let me run through what you saw in case you didn't know what you saw. In the beginning, you saw our security training day and just trying to have our men prepared for any tragedy that might come to our church. Pictures from our abolition day. You saw Brother Billy and Sister Betty Jean when we were singing at the nursing home, and so thankful for that day. Saw a little bit of our drive-in church. There was a stack of letters you saw. Those were all dozens and dozens of tracts that we mailed out to people that we had addresses for just to get the gospel out the best way we could. We had the opportunity to help a family with a wheelchair ramp, and you saw that. Saw some pictures of our young people out on outreach. If you're wondering about the parking lot, if you didn't know, we had a parking lot resurfaced this year, and it looks so much nicer than it did before. Saw several pictures and stuff from our church camps, vacation Bible school, cruise night, the picnic we got to have back in our backyard, trunk or treat, the parades, and you haven't lived until you've seen Tom Palmer ride a stick horse. And if you missed on that, I promise you one thing, the picture doesn't do it justice. And then there were some gifts that we were able to bless the folks at the nursing home with there at the end. And just what a blessing this past year in the midst of it all has been. And I thank God for it, that he's been faithful through it all. We've had opportunities to get the gospel out, and maybe the numbers aren't quite what we would hope for them to be, but I hope your hearts are what they ought to be tonight. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. I like the numbers, I like the statistics, I like the videos, I like some of those practicalities, but I'm ready to get to the Word of God tonight, and I hope you are too. Our theme for this year that the Lord has put on my heart is revive us again. And unfortunately for you, as I pray and as I study the Word of God, what God convicts my heart about, what God works in my heart about for me personally, oftentimes gets projected onto you. And as I've considered this past year and the condition of my heart, and just to be honest with you, I feel a great need for revival in my own heart. This year's been a little bit discouraging. This year's been a little bit difficult. This year's kind of had me down a little bit this past year, and I don't want to be that way anymore. If we've gotten a little bit lax, if we've gotten a little bit lazy, if we've gotten a little bit just kind of okay with things being the way they are, I want to tell you right now, I'm not okay with 2020 being the new normal. Not for our country, not for our world, and certainly not for this church. Listen, God has given us a calling, and it doesn't matter what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter if Nero is Caesar and he is destroying the lives of all the Christians. We still have a job to do as a church. It doesn't matter if the Black Plague is going around the world and destroying lives and families. We still have work to do as a church, and it may be harder, and it may be that we've got to get a little more creative in how we do things, but friends, it's time for us to wake up and do the work that God's called us to do. In Psalm 85, we're going to see a call for God to revive his people again, a prayer, a song of praise, but a prayer to God that he would revive his people. But let me just give you a quick rundown that there is a lot of examples. There are many examples in Scripture of revival. You might remember that Jacob thought his son Joseph was dead. And the Word of God says that when Jacob found out that Joseph was really alive, the Word of God says that his spirit revived. You see, good news can revive your spirit again. We read about Samson, and you remember how he took the jawbone of that donkey and he slew all of those Philistines, and at the end of it, he was so thirsty he thought he would die. And he cried out to God, and God took a hollow place in that jawbone, and he gave him water to drink, and the Bible says that his spirit came again and he revived. God provided a way for him to be revived after he had expended himself, after he was weary, after he thought he was to the point of dying. God was able to revive him. You might remember several weeks ago, we studied in here on a Wednesday night about the widow woman whose child died. Elijah was staying there with them, and the child died, and she cried out to Elijah and said, Are you just here to visit my sins on me? And Elijah took that child, and he prayed over that child over and over and over, and the Word of God says that the soul of that child came back into him again, and he revived. God can even make things that are dead alive again. He can bring life. There was a man who had passed away, and it was a time of great trouble in Israel's history, and the man had died, and they were going to bury them. They just happened to be trying to bury him in Elisha's sepulcher, and when trouble was coming, they let his body down. I kind of get the idea they just kind of dropped him. I don't know if you've read that recently, but they let his body down, and when his corpse, touched the body of Elisha the prophet, he revived and stood up on his feet again. Listen, Elisha was a man who had the double spirit, a double portion of the Spirit of God in his life, and his influence, even after death, had an impact on others to bring revival. Hey, you remember when Nehemiah went back to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem? Remember that? You remember it was just smooth sailing and it was all so easy? You remember that? No, you probably don't remember that. Hey, there was enemies, and they Sanballat was one of them, and he mocked Israel, and he mocked Nehemiah, and he mocked those who would rebuild, and he said, what are you going to do? You're going to revive those stones out of the piles of rubbish? And you know what God did? He revived that wall and those stones out of the piles of rubbish. Listen, you may think that your life is torn down. You may think that this country is torn down. You may think that there is no hope, but I'm telling the that God is able to revive anything from any condition. Amen. When the people have a heart to work and do what God's called us to do. David gave a song of praise to God, and in the midst of trouble, he would revive him. Isaiah reveals to us that the Holy One, who inhabits eternity, dwells in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and the heart of the contrite. God is in the business. God, who is high above all things, is in the business of reviving the hearts of those who are humble, reviving the hearts of those who are contrite, reviving the hearts of those who are downtrodden. And maybe this year's got you down, and certainly we've had a lot of heartache and we've had a lot of difficulty, but don't harden your heart against God. Humble your heart before the Lord. Don't let your spirit turn away from God, but turn to God in humility and contrition, and he will revive you. He'll bring revival to your life. The God who is above all things has the power to lift you up. You remember Ezekiel was sent by God to a valley of dry bones. I love Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a practical man. Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? You know, Lord. That's a good answer. I don't know, but you do. Prophesy, preach to the bones, Ezekiel. And he did. And God said, Ezekiel, this is Israel. And my word will bring them to life again. And you may not realize it, but you and I, we need the word of God to bring us to life again in 21. Not just the world out there, friends. This church, you and I, need to be awoken. We need to be brought to life again. We need the Word of God to breathe into us and to get us back on our feet again to do the work that God's called us to do. Hosea calls the people to return unto the Lord, and the Lord will revive them. Habakkuk prays for the Lord to revive his work, and in his wrath, remember, mercy. And if you don't think God's wrath has anything to do with what's gone on in this world in the last year, you need to wake up tonight. You see, God's still in control. God's still on his throne. God still judges the nations. And God still judges my sin and your sin. And we need to understand that we need to turn back to the Lord. Amen. And we need to look to him for his mercy, that in the midst of his wrath, he would remember mercy and that he would revive his work in the midst of the years. Ezra's prayer of repentance for the people of God includes a cry to God that he would just give a little reviving in the middle of their bondage. And friends, we are in the midst of a country that is in bondage to sin like it hasn't been in history. We are in the midst of a people who are in bondage to sin, who desperately need deliverance. And if you think that the sin of this nation hasn't had an impact on this church, again, friend, we need to wake up. We need to understand that it has an influence in our lives, and we need to get that away from us. We need to turn away from those things, and we need to turn to God. And we need revival in our church today. Psalm 85 is where we're going to look to tonight, and I want to invite you to stand with me as we look to the Word of God. We're gonna get a little bit of instruction on how to have revival this year. And we need God to revive our hearts, and quite frankly, we need good instructions on how to do that. Don't you like good instructions? Hey, every once in a while, we'll buy something for the kids, and it'll come with instructions. You know what those are for? Those are to go back to when you've messed up trying to do it without the instructions. Right? Anybody ever done that? Oh, this is easy, obviously. I can see how this works. It goes together, and then you do it backwards, and you got to take it all apart to do it the right way. We don't want to do it that way this year. Sometimes instructions are pretty obvious. There was a bar of Dial soap. On the bar of soap, it said, use like regular soap. That's good advice. There was a, anybody know what tiramisu is? It's delicious. That's what it is. On the bottom of the box, it said, do not turn upside down. And for those with lighter hair color tonight. There was a dessert, and it said, product will be hot after heating. I got to give you one more, just because they're fun. I don't know what they do in Korea, but on a set of Korean kitchen knives, it said on the outside of the box, warning, keep out of children. I think that's great advice. Wherever your knives are made, that's great advice. What's the point? There is no point. Except this, God gives us instructions in His Word. And these instructions that I just read you may be silly and may be funny. It may seem obvious to you. But when you look to the Word of God, He's going to give us some instructions on how we can have revival this year. And we need to hear those instructions, and we need to apply those instructions to our hearts. Listen, as a church tonight, we need to make up our minds. Personally, I want to be revived. And when each one of us does that, God can do amazing things in this year. Verse 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Father, I thank you for your word. Pray that you'd help me to preach it by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would revive my heart again tonight, and that everyone who hears this message will be stirred up, that we will be broken because of our sin, that we will look back to what you've done in our hearts already, and we will look to you to restore us, to renew us, to revive us. Lord, revive us in this year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. For just a few moments tonight, I want to share with you some truths from this passage of Scripture about revival. In verses 1 through 3, you see the psalmist here. This is a psalm for the sons of Korah, a song of Korah. And there's a little bit of debate about exactly when it might have been written. He talks about being brought back in the captivity of Jacob. Some people believe this is the nation of Judah coming back from Babylonian captivity and a song of rejoicing for that. Spurgeon points out the fact that really Jacob didn't come back from captivity. That was Judah and Benjamin. That was the southern tribe. He says that he believes that this was just Israel during David's day, during the Philistine invasion, when the Philistines had control. Whatever it is, the people of God were rejoicing because God had been favorable to them and had brought them out of captivity. Tonight, I want to challenge you that you would remember God's mercies and return to him. Remember God's mercies and return to him. Listen, his mercy, his grace is new every single morning. Every day when you wake up, you ought to remember that God is the one who's given you another day to live and to move and to have your being. He gives you the very breath that you have. He holds you all together. It's all him. Remember him. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. And can I just say, God's been favorable to us as well. God was favorable to Israel, and God has been favorable to this land, established with laws that were based on the principles of the Word of God, and God's favor has been on our land. Not only that, can you confess tonight, can you testify tonight that God's been favorable to your family? God's been favorable to us. God's grace has been upon us. And I think about that. I think about looking at Scripture, men like Joseph and women like young Mary, where God's word says that they found grace in God's sight, that God's grace and God's favor was on them. And hey, you can just join right in the chorus. God has been favorable to us. He's been good, and we ought to remember his goodness. He's brought back the captivity of Jacob. Listen, I don't know if you realize this tonight, but if you're saved, you were once a slave to sin. If you're saved, you were once in bondage. If you're saved, you are no longer in bondage. You are no longer a slave. You are no longer in captivity, but God has set you free. You have been freed from sin. You've been freed from death. You've been freed from hell. And you ought to remember that God has given you freedom from your captivity. He goes on and says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. I don't know if the weight of your sin ever comes down on you. I don't know if you ever feel the burden of that. Let's just be honest for a second tonight. We're looking for revival. That means we've got to be real, right? Do you ever sin? And do you ever feel the weight of that sin? I just want to remind you that if you're saved tonight, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Listen, that's a feeling that the world will never understand. The justification of Jesus Christ through faith in his death and resurrection, the justification that you have, the forgiveness that you've experienced, that's something the world will never know. Those that are without Christ cannot understand the freedom and the joy and the peace that comes from being forgiven. But I just want to remind you, even if you mess up tonight, even if you mess up tomorrow, your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, if you're really born again, that truth doesn't make you want to continue in sin. That truth makes you not want to sin anymore. I'll never forget Adrian Rogers talking about somebody said, if I believe like you do, that if I was once saved, always saved, if I believe that, I'd sin all I want to. And he said, oh, I sin more than I want to. And their jaw hit the floor. They said, what do you mean you sin more than you want to? He said, I'm saved. I don't want to sin anymore. Doesn't mean that we don't. It means that that desire has changed. Our hearts are different. He's given us a right spirit and a right heart. Our sins are forgiven. He says, thou hast covered all their sin. And I want to tell you tonight, there's nothing that can cover your sin but the blood of Jesus. Amen. He takes it away. Remember God's mercies and return to him. Aren't you thankful today that the Lord God has taken away all his wrath? Look at it in verse 3. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. You know what he did with it? He put it on Jesus. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. The wrath of God on the sin of mankind was all put on our Savior when he died on the cross. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And I just want to tell you tonight, I'm so thankful that he's turned away from his anger. If God allowed his anger and his wrath to be poured out on mankind like he is, he would be just to do, no one would be left. Nothing would be left. But he sent Christ to take our punishment, to take the wrath, to take his anger. Remember God's mercies and return to him. I just pray that in this new year, you and I, if our minds have gotten away from who Jesus is, if our hearts have gotten away from what Christ has done for us, if our hearts and minds have gotten away from the gospel and what we're to be about, that we'll remember his mercy that he's poured out on us, and we'll come back to him. We'll come back to the cross. We'll come back to Calvary. We'll come back to the gospel. We'll come back to who he is and what he has for us to do. Remember God's mercies in return. Number two, we need to recognize God's anger and we need to repent. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Now you say, well, Brother Isaac, I thought you said the fierceness of his anger was gone. I thought you said his wrath was gone. Listen, the penalty of sin has been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, but you and I still have to deal with the consequences of our sin in this life. What do you mean? Well, let me see if I can find an example. If you're saved and you go out and drink a bunch of alcohol and get drunk, because you're saved, does that mean, and you got drunk, does that mean you're now not saved and you're going to go to hell? No, of course it doesn't mean that. Your penalty of sin's been taken care of. But does that mean that you can avoid the hangover and all the other trouble that's going to come from committing that sin? Nope. Everybody with me? Now, the penalty's been taken care of. You're not going to go to hell. But you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your sin. Amen. You and I are going to have to deal with the consequences. Hey, kids, if you lie to mommy and daddy, if you're saved, it doesn't mean if you tell a lie, you'll go to hell, but it doesn't mean you'll have to deal with the consequences of lying to mommy and daddy. I'm trying to help you, young people. I'm trying to save your life. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. Cause thine anger toward us to cease. You know, all through Scripture, God calls us to repent. Paul went around preaching repentance toward God. Jesus came preaching repent and believe the gospel. I love the fact that the song here says, turn us, O God. You know, the reality is if God didn't work in your heart, you would never repent. If it wasn't for him showing you his mercy, showing you his love, showing you his sacrifice on Calvary, you would never turn away. He is the God of our salvation. He works in our hearts to bring us to a place of repentance and cause your anger to cease. Verse 5 says, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? I got to tell you, this is a rhetorical question. Will God be angry with his people forever? Absolutely not. Will he draw out his anger to all generations? No, he absolutely won't. Because at this time, they were looking for Messiah to come. They were looking for Jesus to be born and to be the Savior of the world. And we look back to Jesus who came and he died for us and he took away God's wrath forever. And yes, God is angry, I believe, with America today. I believe God's angry with the state of Oklahoma tonight. And listen, I believe that God's got some anger for Calvary Missionary Baptist Church and the ways that we've fallen short in this past year, but he won't stay angry forever. And there is hope, and repentance is there if we'll turn will turn, then he'll bring revival. Verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Listen, rejoicing can come, and if joy is lacking in your life, then you need to look no further than your own heart. If you've got unconfessed sin, if you've got unrepented sin in your heart, if you're regarding iniquity in your heart, you're not going to have joy. But when you repent, when you turn, then God will bring rejoicing back. Charles Spurgeon said, a genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers or day dawn without light. And what's he saying? That when you are revived in the Lord, rejoicing is going to come. When you get away from your sin and you get away from your apathy and you get back to serving the Lord Jesus Christ with a fervency and a passion and your sins are forgiven and you remember it and you know it, there's going to be joy in your heart. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have the joy of the Lord in my heart every day. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Now, I believe that these are God's people who are singing this song. These are God's people who are praying this prayer. And I want to tell you, saved people need God's mercy, and saved people are always in continual need of God's salvation. What does that mean? Well, we understand that once you're saved forever. He gives eternal life. But salvation isn't always talking about the salvation of your soul. Salvation could be saving you from trouble, saving you from difficulty, saving you from your enemies, saving you from your apathy. We need the mercy of God. We need a salvation in every part of our lives. We need to remember God's mercies in return. We need to recognize God's anger and repent. And I just want to remind you tonight, if you've got iniquity that you're regarding in your life, God is not happy with that. God is not pleased with that. God does not love everything about us, and there are things in our life that we need to repent of. We need to recognize his anger and repent. Number three, can I say, we need to resolve to hear God's word, and we need to remain faithful. Look at verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. He starts with, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. It was an exciting day when I learned that the Bible word for saint doesn't mean somebody who's performed 10 miracles and done all this stuff. You ever heard all that? Saw it in a movie one time. I was so excited when I learned that I was a saint. And you know what I had to do to achieve sainthood? And it wasn't because my mama said I was a little angel. She didn't say that, for one thing. You know what I had to do to achieve sainthood? I had to turn away from my sin and believe in Jesus. I had to ask Jesus to be my Savior. And when he saved me, I became a saint. Isn't that good? And here we thought it was all about us. No, it's not about us. It's about him. He's the one who sanctifies us. He's the one who sets us apart. And when you were saved, you were a saint, which means you're sanctified or set apart. You were set apart from death to life. You were set apart from being a child of the devil to being a child of Jesus, a child of the King. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. I want to ask you tonight, are you his people? Have you achieved sainthood like I have? Well, you can. Believe the gospel. Believe. But let them not turn again to folly. God sets us on a straight and narrow path. And he instructs us not to turn to the right hand or to the left. God has saved your soul. If you're born again tonight, You have life everlasting. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. You will never die. You'll be alive forever and ever. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Though a man die, yet shall he live. Amen. You're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. His Spirit lives in you. You are a part of his kingdom forever and ever. He sets you on the right path, and he says, don't turn to the right hand or to the left hand, but let your eyes look right on. And we're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we need to be careful that we don't turn back into folly. What's that mean? It means everything that's behind you. That old life, that old lifestyle, that old sin nature, that old man, it's all dead. And don't turn back to that nonsense, but keep following Jesus. And I want to tell you today that there are a lot of good-intentioned people who have turned back to folly. And you know what they've done? They've listened to what the world has to say instead of keeping their hearts and minds in the Word of God. They listen to what they see on mainstream media, and they listen to what they see on social media, and they're listening to all the media of the world instead of listening to the very Word of God. And when you get out of the Word of God and you start listening to your college professors and you start listening to the talking heads on TV, it's going to mess you up. Amen. And you're going to end up in a bunch of folly and a bunch of nonsense. And I want to tell you that I don't care which side of the aisle you look to today, there's nonsense on both sides. Amen. Our country's so divided politically, and I just want to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is hard to be found in either political party today. Amen. You may think that your party's more godly than the other, and maybe you're right or maybe you're not, but I want to tell you this, neither one of them are focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the pro-life agenda, just since I'm on a soapbox right here, the pro-life agenda might be slightly better than the pro-death agenda, but it's still not what we need. We need to abolish abortion completely. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am so sick and tired of choosing between the lesser of two evils. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful that I'm part of a heavenly kingdom because of Jesus Christ. It's no wonder. It's no wonder that people in our country are so depressed and so angry and so confused and so up in arms and so ready to just burn something down. If your hope wasn't in Jesus, wouldn't you be in that same condition? Let's just burn it all down. I'd feel that way too. But my hope is in Jesus. Listen, when you start listening to anything but the Word of God, you're going to turn back to folly. We need to be very careful. Can I tell you that we don't need to listen to those outside influences? And let me help you out. You don't need to listen to your heart either. I get tired. Oh, I don't. Do people make you tired? You know, you'd think after all this time, somebody would have figured out. Just listen, honey. Just follow your heart. Yeah, that's worked out really well the last 6,000 years. Your heart, if you didn't know it, it's deceitful. And you may not like to hear it, but your heart is also wicked. And your heart will lie to you. If you follow your heart, you know where you're going to end up? You're going to end up turning back to folly. I'm so thankful tonight that I don't have to follow the world or the culture or the social trends. I don't have to follow my heart. I can follow the very Word of God. Amen. And how foolish we are to ignore His Word. Verse 9 says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Did you get that? Surely his salvation is nigh, it's near those that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Did you know the glory of God can come back to our land? It could happen in Israel's day, and you go, well, yeah, they had the Ark of the Covenant, and the Spirit of God was always with the Ark of the Covenant. And you go, no, listen, we've got something better. Amen. We have Jesus Christ himself and his Holy Spirit that has come down. And when you and I fear God, his presence is with us. and his glory can fill the land. What does that mean? Well, how's God's glory going to come? Well, his glory comes because we get saved and his spirit lives in us and we live in fear of God. So we're walking with God. So his glory is in our lives. And when you and I take the gospel to other people and they get saved and the spirit of God lives inside of them and they walk in the fear of God, then God's near them and his glory surrounds their lives. Is everybody with me right now? I know this is super complicated. Let me give you an illustration. A few weeks ago, we had something called a candlelight service. Remember that? I was real nervous. You guys were going to burn the church building down. But by the grace of God, we're all still here. We were all spread out because, you know, we got to spread out these days. And people were carrying lighters and somebody's lighter wasn't working. You remember that? No? I do remember that. And so what do? You get one person's lit, and what do? They take that candle to the other person, and they light them, and it glows. Like a glorious light in the darkness. Listen, people, I'm trying to give you a picture here. And you take the light that they gave you, and you pass it to somebody else. And you know what happens? It glows a little bit brighter. And they pass it to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. And pretty soon, you know what happens? The whole room is lit up because people were sharing their light. Amen. This is what it's talking about. His glory fills the land because people are walking in the fear of God. They're taking the gospel seriously. They're walking in seriousness. They're walking in the fear of the Lord. They're taking the gospel to other people. And the word of God is spread. And his glory is living. It's dwelling in the land. And would to God that the glory of God would come back to the United States of America. Would to God his glory would come back to Muldrow, Oklahoma. Hey, I don't know if you've been around for very long, but in case you didn't know it, Sequoia County could use a little bit of God's glory. Or maybe a whole lot. Well, that's going to come when God's people start walking in the fear of the Lord. Verse 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And only in God can you get mercy and truth together. Why can you have mercy and truth? Why can you have the righteous judgment of God and the mercy of God? How can all that work? Well, that's Jesus. Mercy and truth come together in Christ. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Listen, as long as our nation continues to turn away from God, you can forget about our land being prosperous for long. But I want to tell you, this goes far beyond, far beyond the physical increase of God. I'm far more interested in the spiritual increase of God. Amen. And when you and I cry out to God for his mercy, when we get his mercy and truth in our lives, and we're walking in the fear of the Lord, then his truth will come, and God will bless this church with increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. God's going to bless those who are of a contrite heart and a humble spirit. God's going to bless those who are walking in the fear of the Lord. We need to remember God's mercies and return to him. We need to recognize God's anger and we need to repent. We need to resolve to hear God's word and remain faithful to him. Gypsy Smith was a famous evangelist of yesteryear. Somebody asked him one time what the secret of revival was. What's the secret of revival? Would you like to know? He said, go home, take a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself, then pray, oh Lord, revive everything inside this circle. I want to confess to you tonight that I've got a lot of fear, a lot of trepidation about whether revival will really come to Calvary this year. I know we need revival. I know God's able to send revival. But I also know the truth that that depends on each and every one of us. If we don't all repent and seek God's face for revival, if every one of us aren't serious in crying out to God for revival, it won't come to any of us. I believe that. I believe that when God's people are unified in their repentance, when God's people are unified and they're of one accord in seeking God's face, that miraculous things happen. I'm going to tell you this tonight while we get ready for a verse of invitation. I am resolved. You want to stand up with me? I am resolved I'm not going to be the reason revival doesn't come to this place. If revival doesn't come to Calvary, I am resolved that it will not be my fault. By the grace of God, I will repent. By the grace of God, I'll walk in the fear of the Lord. By the grace of God, I'll seek His face day by day. What about you?